Good morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we come before you. We thank you. We adore you. We worship you. We desire to bless you and magnify your name in heaven. Father, would you help us? You've created us to worship you. Our desire is to worship you. We pray that you would enable us by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, that we would offer up praises and prayers that would please you, that they would be acceptable in your sight. And we know, Father, by ourselves they would never be good enough. But we thank you for Jesus, who has freed us and made us worthy, even co-heirs in the kingdom of God. Oh Lord, these things seem too wonderful for us, and yet you've given them to us freely. Would you help us now as we look to your word? Our desire is to think your thoughts after you and to learn about you and how we should live. Please, Lord, help us. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please turn to Luke chapter 5. God willing, we'll continue in our walk through the Gospel of Luke. As y'all know, I don't want to say wrestled, but I debated for some time what book should we go through next. If you remember, I taught a dozen or so what I would call onesies. Not going through a book, but just whatever. Anyway, I'm blessed that God led us to Luke as I've been reading through it and studying, and it's a great thing. Last time, if you remember, Jesus led the disciples to catch a large catch of fish. Y'all remember that? And when earlier in that same night they had fished in the same spot even and had caught nothing. And Jesus said, well, try it again. And if you remember, Peter is struck by the power of Jesus, that Jesus can command fish to swarm in a certain location at a certain time. And Peter falls down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. This is Luke chapter 5, verse 8. And listen, and you know this, but listen, in a way, this is really the only right response to the powerful working of Jesus in our lives and in the world. Oh, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. Why would you do such wonderful things? Depart from me. But listen, even though that should be our response, Jesus is merciful and full of grace. Do you know this? Of course you do. He delights in saving sinners. Amen. He wants to save sinners. He saves the greatest of sinners and even demonstrates his love toward them. 1 Timothy chapter 1, listen, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Listen, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Listen, here's the encouragement that our brother Paul is giving us here. Jesus came to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all. Listen, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example for those who are to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:12 through 17. Romans chapter 5, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even die. But God shows, He demonstrates His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, Jesus delights in saving sinners. Do you think yourself outside of the reach of Christ's mercy? He saved the chief of sinners. Paul says, myself, the chief of all sinners, I've been saved as an example for all those who would believe coming after me. You think you're too far gone? I tried to kill the church. His own wife. Listen, you Texas residents and sneaky rednecks, what would you do to someone who tried to kill your wife? How would you feel? Paul tried to kill the church as a tiny baby. The church is barely getting going. Paul tried to kill it. Do you see why he calls himself the chief? He said, I was a blasphemer. And God had mercy on me as an example for others. You're not outside of the reach of God's mercy. The very, very worst is who Jesus came to save. He died for the ungodly. If you remember, I've taught you this before, this passage where Jesus is teaching and he says, do you love those who love you? Even tax collectors and sinners do that. God shows His love. How does He show His love? He shows His love to those who don't love Him. Do you understand this? This is the nature of gospel love. God loves those who hate Him and changes them into friends and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. Why? Because He loves them. Sinners though they be. Peter has a right response to his lack of faith and immature thinking about who Jesus is. He sees Jesus command this swarm of fish. Oh Lord, I underestimated your power. I'm sinful. That is the right response. But listen, there is great hope for sinners. Jesus assures Peter, remember, He doesn't mean to harm him or kill him because of his unbelief, his sinfulness. Jesus encourages him, fear not, henceforth thou shalt catch men, according to the KJV. Henceforth, from now on, moving forward. And listen, the disciples fulfilled Jesus' declaration, did they not? They did catch men. With His help and power, they caught many men and women. Listen, praise be to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God. He saves sinners. Well, please stand while we read today's section. This will be Luke chapter 5, verse 12 through 26. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Amen. You may be seated. What kind of people in the context we've just finished? Jesus told Peter, "From now on you'll be catching men." What kind of men will they be catching? What kind? What we'll see again and again is this is the kind of people. Broken people. Sick people. People with no hope, no prospects for a happy future. Verse 12, a man came full of leprosy. How much leprosy? Full of leprosy. When he saw Jesus, listen, we've talked about this before. Last week, Brother Edward elaborated on it some in this, with the story of Naaman. But if you have leprosy, you're not going to be a part of the community with everyone else. You might be Jewish, you might be a Jew, but you are in an unclean state at all times. You cannot join together with others. This man, when he saw Jesus, fell on his face and begged him. Listen, do you want to know the right response to the gospel of Jesus? There are those who would compel you to say, "Can you just give Jesus a chance? He'll change everything." And he will. But listen, this man fell down and begged for the mercy of God. Isn't that a difference? It's the way some would present the gospel. Jesus really wants to be your friend. If you just let go and let him be your friend, he would be. Or those realizing in what a sad state they are in, begging God to have mercy on them. He begs Jesus, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Listen, don't pass over this quickly. What faith this man has in the power of Jesus. Full of leprosy. All that was required in this man's mind is for Jesus to have a will to heal him. Not whether he can do it. He obviously believes he can. If you will, even though I am completely full of leprosy and ritual uncleanness, if not spiritual uncleanness as well, You can heal the flesh rotting disease that I have. All that's required is for Jesus to say the word. Listen, brothers and sisters, I pray that we would have faith like this leper. Amen. Would we have faith like this leper? Oh, that we would cry out to the Savior, fall at His feet, beg for Him to have mercy on us. And listen, He will. You know why? Because He delights in saving sinners. He delights in it. Listen, oh, that we would bring our requests before God, the Savior. He always lives to make intercession for His people. Verse 13, Jesus does not hesitate to touch this man. Do you think the Pharisees and teachers would have touched him? Would they have had compassion on him? Would they have felt the heaviness of this man's life? No hope for the future. No hope for a happy life. Jesus has no worry that he will be made unclean by touching this diseased man. No worry at all. Jesus stretches out his hand immediately, touches him and says, I will be clean. Be clean. You could restate it. Jesus said, I do will be clean. And he's healed. Immediately, the Bible says, immediately this man full of leprosy is not full of leprosy anymore. It left him. Well, let me ask you, what kind of people does the Savior save? Broken people, sick people, people with no hope for the future, no happy prospects. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to Him. Hebrews chapter 7, speaking about Jesus' priesthood and His being higher of a higher nature than the Levites. Consequently, He's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. This man is healed immediately, verses 14 through 16. Jesus told him to do what the law prescribed. This man is happy. He's been saved. He says, go do what the law prescribes. Okay, well, what does it prescribe? Well, we won't read all of it, but let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 14. And we'll see what Jesus wanted him to do. Leviticus 14. The Lord spoke to Moses, this is verse 1, saying, this shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. Right? Very pertinent to what happened here with Jesus. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then, if the case of the leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two live clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him as to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, bathe himself in water, and shall be clean. And after that he may come into the camp, but live outside his tent 7 days. On the seventh day he shall shave off all his hair from his head, his beard and his eyebrows shall shave off all his hair. And then he shall wash his clothes, and bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean. And he goes on through verses 32. What did Jesus want him to do? He said, I've healed you. Listen, you're under the law. Do what's right under the law for being cleansed of leprosy. And let it be an example to them. You see that? Verses 14. Go show yourself to the priest. Make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. For a proof. A proof to who? Those at the temple. Doubtless they're going to ask, what happened? He's going to say, Jesus touched me and said, be clean. And I'm clean. And they will say, well, what are you doing here? You're clean. Jesus told me I should obey the law. Would that help Jesus or hurt Jesus? Because the Pharisees would want to accuse him of doing strange things. But if he heals people and then tells them, do what's right under the law, they can't bring an accusation against him. He did right. Let him be an example to all those who see that he's been healed. Be faithful to the commandments of God. Listen, but the news of this healing, as well as these other healings, it makes Jesus even more famous than he was already, right? We heard this lady had a fever. This guy had leprosy. The more they hear about the work of Jesus, the more they hear about the testimonies of those cured by him, they gathered to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Listen, oh, that in our day and in our land that would happen. People would hear about our testimony of how God had healed us and forgiven us and given us peace that surpasses all understanding. And they would rush to gather together and hear the words of Jesus and be healed of their diseases. Would you tell them? The Bible says that many were gathered to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And I pray that many would be gathered to hear the gospel in our land, in our town. And listen, even with great power that Jesus has and popularity, listen, at this time, was Jesus popular? Without a doubt. Everywhere he goes, he draws large crowds. People are praising him. They can't believe such gracious words that are coming out of his lips. The text says, verse 16, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Let us follow Jesus' example here. This is an end to this particular story, but I don't think it's insignificant. Often we'll pray when things are going poorly. We don't know what else to do. We finally break down and pray. And listen, with an eye to providence, let me ask you, do you wonder why God brings hard times to you? You only pray when hard times come. Well, let me bring some hard times and draw them back in again. We should praise God at all times. Jesus is very successful right now. The power of God is upon him to heal in miraculous ways. He sneaks away. He goes to a lonely place, a quiet place to pray. I pray that we would do that. We would draw. We would move away to quiet places and pray. Listen. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. What kind of people does Jesus save? Broken people, sick people. Verse 17. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. This is a lot of teachers, right? The whole area, and not just local, even from Jerusalem. Pharisees, teachers of the law are sitting there from all around. And as was happening at that time, when Jesus is around, people are bringing sick people to him to be healed. People are coming to hear him speak. And he's, the scripture says at the end of verse 17, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. The power of the Lord. Verses 18 and 19, some men bring a man who was paralyzed to be healed by Jesus. Now listen, in our day, with great medical advancement and rehabilitation and therapy, you'll hear about someone who was paralyzed, you know, in a car accident or a football injury to their neck, and they can't move, they can't play anymore, but then you hear a story later, 4 years later, 5 years later, they can walk again because of extensive rehabilitation, therapy, advances in medicine, whatnot. Listen, this man would never walk ever. He's paralyzed. He's paralyzed. And his friends bring him to Jesus. But there's such a great crowd, they cannot get the man in front of Jesus. So they went further, not turned away by the difficulty. They're like, how can we get... Apparently, there was a way for them to remove part of the roof and lower the man down. Not turned away by the difficulty, they continued to pursue. Listen, they continued to pursue an audience with Jesus. There is a massive crowd there. Verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. The scribes and Pharisees and all these people who were there, not recognizing who Jesus was or that he came from the Father to bring forgiveness of sins. You remember John's pronouncement? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The scribes, not recognizing this. The Pharisees, not recognizing this. When they hear him say, man, your sins are forgiven, they say, what? Huh? Did I hear that? What did he say? He can't say that. Only God can say that. And they're right to say that. Amen. Only God can say, man, your sins are forgiven. They're right. But the reason they say it is because they don't know who Jesus is. They don't recognize it. They keep wondering, show us a sign. There's a multitude of signs. They say, no one's even heard of someone being healed who was born blind. Much less seen it happen right here in front of us. You don't know where he comes from? You remember they questioned the blind man? He's like, you don't know where he comes from, and yet I can see. It's obvious where he comes from. But they're not recognizing it. And I would say because of willful disobedience and rejection. Refusing to see the signs. Listen, there is a way that we definitely need God to open our eyes and open our understanding that we might believe and receive new life. But there is also a very real sense that we are in willful disobedience and rejection. God's glory and magnificence is all around us at all times. You cannot go anywhere where it is not crying out day to day and night to night, pouring forth speech. God is God. He reigns. Bow down to Him. And in our sinful states, we refuse and say, no, He's not God. There just happened to be at the right time a bunch of elements that collided together and exploded. And here we are. And I understand very clearly why they want there to be a different explanation. I understand. If God is God and you do not bow, you're in deep trouble. But if He's not God, then maybe I'm not in so deep trouble. Verse 22 and 23, Jesus perceived their thoughts. It doesn't say He overheard their conversation. He perceived their thoughts. Huh? Why, He says, man, your sins are forgiven in their brains. He can't do that. Only God can do that. Jesus perceived their thoughts. Verse 23. Why do you question in your hearts? Not openly. In their hearts they questioned whether He could do it or not. Who knows what's inside of a man except the man and God? No one. Some things that are in you, even you don't know. But God knows those too. Jesus perceives their thoughts and knows what's in their hearts. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk? Now let me ask you that. Which one's easier to say? It's much easier from a worldly perspective to say, your sins are forgiven. Nobody can disprove that his sins are forgiven. Can they say they're not forgiven? They can't prove it or disprove it. But Jesus says, if I tell him to get up and walk, you can disprove that easily if he doesn't get up. You can say, see, you don't have power. Now, listen, their mindset is God alone can forgive sins. Jesus says, I have authority to forgive as the Son of Man come down from the Father. You want me to prove it? Listen, remember the setting. A whole bunch of Pharisees and scribes from Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem are all sitting there. He's told this man, your sins are forgiven. You want me to prove it? Jesus says to the paralyzed man, rise, pick up your bed, go home. And he did. The text says, quote, glorifying God. Now, verse 26, amazement seized them all. Everyone there, they're like, wait a second. You can't tell people their sins are forgiven. You want me to prove it? Over and over and over again, our brother Luke is giving us signs that Jesus has performed. Again and again. From the angel speaking to his mother, to her cousin having a child, even though very advanced in age. When Mary goes to visit her, the baby in her womb leaps for joy. The priest, the old man who was waiting, that God had shown him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. He saw him. And he said, now I can depart in peace. The old lady who stayed there and prayed every day. Again and again, all throughout Luke, he's saying, Jesus is the Christ. He's the Christ. He's the Christ. He's the Christ. He can command fish to go somewhere. He can touch a leprous man. He's not made unclean by it. In fact, the leprous man is made clean. He can forgive sins, even. Verse 26, amazement seized them all. Seized, to grab, to catch, to hold. Amazement seized them. They're just thinking about what just happened. Can you imagine being in that moment? Just watching Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. People starting to get up, rise, go home. The miracle of the moment, you can all... There is a bigger point here than the miracle, right? The bigger point is that Jesus has power to even to forgive sins. If He will, they will be clean. But don't miss the miracle here. This guy is paralyzed for some time. And he is healed instantly. This man jumps up, even not just can barely, you know, unsteadily walk. He picks up the thing that he was laying on. Can you pick up a mattress? If I asked you to carry a mattress from here to the street out there, would you be able to do it? Right? This man is not just walking, stumbling around. He's well. He's fit. Amazement seized them. Well, listen, I've said it repeatedly because I want it to be in your brains. What kind of people does Jesus save? Is He coming to save the healthy? The righteous? No, that is not the teaching of Scripture. Listen, that is not the gospel. Jesus comes to save broken people, sick people, people with no hope, no prospects for the future. There's nothing left but for them to live out their days and die in anguish. And God is merciful to them. The weak, the brokenhearted, those who fall down and beg for mercy. The humble. That's who are the people of God. And you know those who beg Jesus for healing? They're healed. We don't see in the Scriptures a humble man bowing before Jesus, begging for mercy, and Jesus saying, no. It is a false idea that people have in relationship to God's sovereignty and election and salvation, that somehow there's this segment of society that really want to be saved, that cry out for mercy. And Jesus said, I'd really like to, but you're not on the list, friend. You can't come in. That is not true. It's false. Those who beg Christ for mercy are people that He's saving. He doesn't cast out those who come to Him. In fact, He has denied it explicitly. All those who come to Me, I will by no means cast out. I will save them. My Father, who has given them to Me, is greater than all. None are able to snatch them from His hand. And He says, this is the will of God who gave them to Me, that of all of them I should lose none. You want to know what the will of Jesus is? To save every single one that has been given to Him. And He will do it. He cannot fail. It's not that He cannot fail or else this whole system of Jesus being a victor will fall apart. He cannot fail because He's not a failure. He is a conqueror. There's no obstacle that can stand in the way of Jesus. Listen, even death all conquerors and rulers and kings that have ever existed in the history of the earth have been conquered by death. Even though their kingdoms went far and wide and you couldn't get on a horse and ride for 50 days in any direction without still being in their kingdom, they are dead, dead, dead. Death conquered them. Not so, Jesus. Nothing can stand in his way. He is a conquering, victorious king. Even the final enemy, the last enemy, the one that no one has ever defeated, ever, he defeated that enemy, death. Oh, that we would come to the Savior, that we would fall down at his knees, that we would beg for healing and be healed. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this gospel message. We thank you for the gospel of Luke. We thank you for his life and how you worked in his life and through him. And Father, we pray that you'd bless us in our reading, that you'd help us to think of this one that was full of leprosy and yet with the touch of Jesus was healed. This man who was paralyzed was healed in an instant. To prove that Jesus has the power to forgive sins. Oh, Father, help us that we would be humble, that we would keep a right perspective of the gospel, that the gospel is for poor people and broken people, sick, weak. And, Father, that we would make it our concern to bring the gospel to them. Have mercy on us, Lord, as we desire to be better servants. And help us the rest of our day today that we would have sweet fellowship with one another. Even, Father, that we would have a foretaste of heaven to come. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.